Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. Well, we all know what month it is. We all know the gift that this month will present to us in a couple of days. It's March. Many people are preparing for an event known as March Madness. Well, so am I. However, my March Madness begins at home. From transplanting my houseplants that need it, to, for some people, transplanting seedlings that maybe they started just a bit too soon. Doesn't matter what you're transplanting. I thought Mrs. Know-It-All would be the perfect person to add a little levity to the situation. Some people consider transplanting an art form. You have to do it a certain way. You should only use a certain thing. Well, let's hear Mrs. Know-It-All's perspective on how to transplant, when to transplant, why to transplant, and a few techniques that she has learned over her years in horticulture. Hi, Mrs. Know-It-All. How are you?
Hi, Terry.
You know, I've got the itch. My houseplants are like, come on, Terry, you can do it now. Let's talk about the seedlings that I've also started, as well as the houseplants, and how to safely transplant both. Starting with the seedlings, what are we doing? When should we start transplanting?
Yeah, well, we've all got that itch right now. You know, I satisfy it by going into garden centers and smelling the air going, I know I can do this. I just got to wait a little bit longer. You know, well, especially working in a greenhouse, you're always used to that fresh green smell is the only way I can describe it. So, but with seedlings, you always want to wait until they have established their true set of leaves, not the cotyledon leaves, the first ones you see, but their second one. And I actually like to wait until they get their second set, because then they're a little more established. The roots have been growing out. If you are putting them in a seed tray, a simple trick that you can use is to just take your basic number two lead pencil, put a dull point on it, and you can kind of put it underneath the seedling and pop it up that way. You know, there's a tool called a dibble, but there's a garden dibble and then a seed dibble. Seed dibbles aren't always that easy to find. A lead pencil works just as well. You're not, and it's not true lead anyhow, it's graphite. You're not going to hurt the plant at all. But then this way you can lift it safely out of the tray and transplant it into, you know, your packs or your pots or whatever. A, you want to water your plants real well the night before to make sure they're well hydrated. That's always important when you're transplanting. And then your pot or your packs, the potting mix that you have in there. So that's different than your seed mix. Your seed mix is very fine. Your potting mix usually has some vermiculite, perlite, charcoal. You don't want anything too gravelly, but you know, just your basic one that you can buy at the garden center. And you want to moisten that. So what I tell people to do is get a big dish pan. Go to the dollar store, get a big dish pan, put your potting mix in there as much as it will fill. And then using gloves, always wear gloves. I like to feel the dirt. I don't care. Even potting mix, which is sterilized, can still have some issues. You can get ringworm, which is just awful. It's an awful fungal disease that requires a long treatment, which can damage your liver. So wear the gloves. I don't care what kind of gloves, wear gloves. Mm-hmm. Moisten that potting mix. So you want it that it's moist. You don't want it where you can grab it and it holds its shape. You just need to get that dustiness off of it. And keep in mind, if you have any allergies, you might want to just wear a little mask. Hey, I wear my mask.
Me too.
But this way, if you inhale anything, you know, because some of the particles are very fine, all you got to do is put it in there. And it's kind of like mixing dough that you get your hands in there and kind of toss it around and move it, and squeeze it. And, you know, you just want it till it's moist, you know. And I like to use a little bit of warmer water, not hot water, just warm water. It seems to absorb it a little better. And then fill your pots or your packs, as the case may be, whatever you're transplanting into. Then take your thumb. It's a wonderful tool. People don't realize what a great tool your thumb is. Put it in that pack or put it in that pot, and you've created a hole for it. Take your plant and put it in there. Cover it up. You know, there's one exception when people are transplanting, and that's using tomatoes. You can always plant tomatoes deeper than what they are because they developed what is called adventitious roots. So if you've ever seen like your tomato plant out in the garden, it's got all these little bumps on the stem.
Yes.
Those are the beginnings of adventitious roots. And they will grow into more roots and give the plant more, you know, it's going to stabilize them, you know, in there. And then when you go to transplant it in the garden, you can do them deeper again and they will develop more roots. But in the house, you know, or in your little greenhouse or sunroom, you know, putting them in deeper is fine. Otherwise, just put your plants, your like your flowers, your other vegetables, right at the same level they were in your seed tray. Water them, put them in good light. We've talked about it before. You water them from the bottom, put them in a tray, let them absorb the water up. Don't spray them with water. It's a great way to get fungal diseases. You know, it's different outside where there's wind. It's your house. So unless you've got a fan blowing on them all the time, mm-hmm. or you've got, you know, your windows open and the air's, but it's really not a good idea to do that.
So let me ask you this, because someone told me last year, and they were quite proud, when they did the bottom watering, they added a little bit of fertilizer in that water. Good move, bad move?
So most growing media has a nutrient charge in it, which means there's some fertilizer built in. So it doesn't last, it'll last a couple of waterings, but these roots are still tender. So give them a very weak solution, maybe once a week, if you're going to do that. You know, and I don't care what you use, you know, I will use a balanced fertilizer. You know, I know people are always, you know, let's use fish emulsion. I'm sorry, even though they descent the fish emulsion, I have cats. They can still smell that.
Yeah.
You know, they're going, hey, dinner's ready.
Let me just dig in here for a minute.
Yeah. So I like not to use something like that. You can do that, but people always want to go, well, if little's good, a lot's better.
Exactly.
You know, because what will happen is you will burn the roots and then you'll have dead plants.
Mm-hmm. So when you say minimal fertilizer, teaspoon?
As the plants are growing, you can add more fertilizer, preferably right before you put them out in the garden.
Okay, so while they're inside, go with the potting soil with the charger, leave it alone until you move it outside.
You can put the fertilizer in the water while they're inside after a couple waterings that still will use up the original nutrient charge. Now, grower trick, because, you know, most homeowners do not use PGRs, which are plant growth regulators. And a lot of big greenhouses do because they frankly can't go and pinch all the plants all the time when they've got several thousand looking at them.
Right.
So a really easy trick is, depending on how many trays or whatever, simply take your hand and lightly run it across your plants one or two times a day. And that will actually cause them to, it's a hormone reaction. And what it'll do is it'll encourage branching, it'll encourage sturdier stems, and in general, a healthier plant. The other thing is you could use a little fan at a distance and above the plants that it would just kind of skim the top of the plants. you know, the air would be there. Now, you could do that, but you will have to watch your watering a little more, because with the fan, it would drive mud. But it's just simply, that's what we used to do. We'd have a long bench, and every day when we'd walk in, we'd just stick our arm out and just kind of cruise right down the plants. If you want to have an experiment, you know, do it with, you know, one tray of plants, and another tray you don't do it. And in a few weeks, as they're actively growing, you will see the difference.
Mm-hmm. That's a neat idea. That's a very neat idea. So, and then once we put them in the ground, water around the plant, not on top of the plant.
Absolutely. And I use soaker hoses in my garden to avoid any overhead watering. Yes, it rains. You know, last year it rained a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, you know, it might rain hard for a couple of days, and you might not see rain for two more weeks.
Right.
So I have, you know, a soaker hose. My niece and nephew, who just started gardening, and after 1 year, they actually expanded their garden. Mm-hmm. And he's a little nerdy, and he went and got a drip irrigation system and put it in the garden, and it's on a timer. I do that too, if you want to use a timer on everything. I'm forever using my hose for other things, so.
Yeah, and I rarely use my hose, so with something like that, I would have to probably use a timer, because I wouldn't think about it. I don't water my garden. My newly transplanted stuff, I will go around with a watering can and hit the base, because I just like that intimate experience. But I'm also not doing a lot of large scale growing or planting either.
Yeah, I'm growing vegetables, so they need water on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm on the fence about how many vegetables I'm growing this year. I know fairy tale eggplant, but everything else, I'm
gonna do more flowers.
I'm thinking about that too. I gotta order seed, but other than those two, I'm thinking more flowers, more cut flowers this year. But so we got a little bit to go with transplanting them outside, but we have our houseplants. And my Monstera is calling my name every day, like, come on, Terry, just give me a little bit more room and some fresh soil.
Give me some love.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Beginning of March is a good time to start thinking about it. In the meantime, you can check your plants to see, does it need transplanted? There are some plants that like kind of having tight quarters. African violets are one. They actually like to be a little tight in the pot. That forces them to bloom. Now, if you haven't transplanted it in, say, 4 or 5 years, oh, yeah, it's definitely time to transplant it. But otherwise, you know, look at your plants. Take them out of what I hope you have is the plastic pot, and then you can have it in a decorative pot. See how the roots are doing. If you see all roots, it's time to transplant it. If they're circling around, it's time to transplant them. If the roots are still coming down, you could probably wait until, I would say, maybe August. Check then, and then maybe transplant it then. A lot of houseplants are in either what we call 4.5-inch squares, or they're in 6-inch pots, a standard pot. So either way, you can, if something's in a 6-inch standard pot, you may want to move to an 8-inch standard pot. And you can buy them at garden centers. I prefer using plastic pots. I know a lot of people don't. They want to use terracotta. When you use terracotta, there's a couple of things you have to be careful of. One, they dry out faster. B, they have a tendency to get what we call soluble salts, and that's that white crusty stuff that you'll see on the outside of a pot. So you've got to be careful with that. You know, it can eventually affect the plant, so you need to maybe take it out of the pot, scrub that off, and then put it back in that pot.
Now, wait a minute. What do you scrub it off with?
A brush and soap and water, maybe a little vinegar if possible. That'll help.
Nothing, no chemical though.
No. Yeah. No. Okay. No, you may even want to soak the pot in some warm water to help loosen the salts. Mm-hmm. And then use one of those little scrub brushes, like for grout or little heavy ones that you know, sit in your hand, those are always good for doing something like that. And then, you know, the ones that are in the smaller pots, you would move up to, say, a 6-inch pot. Now, there are some that are very shallow rooted, and you may want to put them in what we call an azalea pot or a bulb pan. And a bulb pan is wide and shallow. An azalea pot is wider and slightly taller. It's not as tall as a standard pot. Okay. And especially in succulents, I like to get like a big round bowl and actually plant them in there and have them that way. You know, kind of as a dish garden of succulents.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a novel idea.
And then that way, you know, you have them, obviously they need to have the same growing conditions. Like you don't want to put a cactus in there with something like an aloe that needs more water than the cactus does. And the light conditions as well.
And so when you're transplanting these houseplants, are we tickling the roots? Are we leaving the roots alone? Are we trimming the roots back?
If the roots are all around, definitely tickle them off. You may even want to give them a little haircut. I realize people kind of panic, like, oh my God, I'm going to hurt the plant. No, the plant, if the plant survives this long with you, you're not going to hurt it. You know, just, you know, because you want those roots to be open. You don't want them circling around. Sometimes you'll even find roots at the top of the plant. You really need to kind of loosen them up too. If your plant is really root bound, get a bucket of water, warm, tepid water. Take the plant and kind of swish it up and down, loosening those roots completely. And then you'll have, it's called root washing. And then this way you can actually see, you know, how the roots are and how entangled they are. And you can do some, you know, rejuvenative trimming without damaging the, and then you can replant it, you know, put it in the new pot. And not only that, sometimes the soil gets all crusty and dry, and that's time to actually, you know, do the root washing. You'll get rid of that old soil and put it in the new soil, and the plant's going to go, oh, thank you, Mom. I'm very happy now. Now, depending on the plant you are transplanting, there's a couple different types of soil. One is your basic potting mix, not garden soil, and that's good for any number of plants. There's also cactus mix, and that's good for obviously cactus and succulents. Anything that needs to dry out more and doesn't like a really wet soil, that's excellent to use. Here again, like I talked about using when you're transplanting your, you know, vegetables and flowers, you also want to moisten this soil. Again, it's dusty, it has a nutrient charge. You pot it up that way, and then everything's happy. Like I said, go to the dollar store, go get a deep dish pan. You know, or if you don't want to go to the dollar store and you have an unused, and I stress unused, litter box, because it's the same shape, you can use that too.
Something that you should keep on hand at all times. Because this 6-inch pot has come up a lot in our conversations.
So one other thing, as far as dish pans, you can also get a commercial dish pan, and you can find that in a lot of like Sam's, Costco's, GFS, that sort. They have the deeper, they're actually more like a bussing pan. So you will see, you know, the kid coming around the restaurant loading up the dirty dishes.
Yeah.
You know, and busboys use that, and they're excellent for that.
Okay. And then the soil, if we root wash house plants, what do we do with that soil? Is that reusable?
No, just go put it out in the garden somewhere. Go put it out in the garden somewhere.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say too, the root washing is really good for when you're dividing perennials too, especially like daylilies, because those roots are always like, you know, trying to strangle each other.
Right.
They got your daylilies, do that. You probably need a bigger bucket and do it outside because it is messy when you do something like that size. But it's a really good way to disentangle the roots and transplant, you know, separate them and transplant them that way. Mm-hmm.
And plus, so many people like will just like cut a clump of daylilies. Rewashing is so much user friendly, though. It's so gentle.
Hostas, same thing.
Yeah. And actually, hostas, that I've done before, because then you can just easily pry them apart and make more babies. So it's just something about that, just taking a knife and cutting through it. So mean, you know. But I'm a gentle
gardener. You can work out your frustrations that way.
I'm a gentle gardener. So if you have a pot that you've fallen in love with and it's bigger than what you're transplanting, any tricks that you can do with that? We can take a nursery pot and insert it, but what about that space around it?
Take some long fibered sphagnum moss and tuck it in around it and kind of cover your plant as mulch. You can also use one of my favorite tricks, although I do this predominantly on my outside plants, is I take used hay racks, the cocoa fiber ones that everybody has that dry out almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
I take them, I wash them, I rip them apart and kind of shred them, and I just rip pieces up and tuck them in around, and it's decorative.
Mm-hmm.
And it solves that problem of that big surround. So long fibered sphagnum moss or, you know, the cocoa fiber works very well.
Okay. And then last question, when we transplant, sometimes I've heard that if you put sand on top of the soil, it'll keep like fungus gnats and all from laying their babies in there.
Yeah, how true is that? Eventually you'll end up with concrete, because that sand, as you water, the sand will eventually work its way down there. Mm-hmm. To avoid fungus gnats, don't overwater.
Exactly. That's a surefire sign you have water sitting somewhere, right?
Yeah. And if you have a lot of fungus gnats, again, I would root wash everything and get rid of all that soil and their eggs, because that's what's going to happen. Their eggs are going to be there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just not one and done. They're like, oh, this is a good place. Let's have a village here. So, you know, root wash them and then transplant them back into new soil. Watch your watering.
Okay. Do you suggest the water meters?
I myself have never used them. You know, years and years ago, I worked for an interior landscaping company, and we were taught to use our index finger up to the second knuckle. And if it was dry to the second knuckle, as a rule, it was time to water. If it was still moisture, keep on going, get it the next week. Mm-hmm. Now, here again, there are some plants that are going to like to be wetter than others, and some are going to be like to be drier than others. So you have to know what plant you're checking, but that's the easiest way, is sticking your finger in.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard as well. And what about the soda bottle turned upside down as a way of keeping the plants moist?
You know, if you're going away for a couple of days or something and you have a very water needy plant, yeah, that'd be okay. A, they're not attractive. B, right. there are the water globes that will moisten it, but there's usually not enough water in them to keep the plant well hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might need two or three of them. Yeah, and they're pretty and they're glass, and I love glass, but you are better off, if you're going away, water your plants thoroughly, let them drain thoroughly, and if they're in direct sunlight, you're going to be gone for say 3 or 4 days, pull them away from the window so they can still get light, but they're not going to get blasted by the sun or an air conditioning vent.
That's another thing. Vents and houseplants don't work together.
No.
Dry it out every time. Even if the vent is below, it's too close.
Yeah, that air is still there. Go, you know what? Go to those garden centers. Go look for a pretty pot. Go buy your potting mix. So, you know, you can beat the crowd when somebody goes, oh, I need to transplant my hosta, or not my hosta, my pothos or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, go in there and do that, you know, and you might find something else. I just bought a new plant.
What'd you get?
I got a pink Chinese evergreen.
Ooh.
So actually, my girlfriend picked it up for me. She was going to this one place, and they always have a selection of houseplants. I'm like, if you see one, grab it for me. So it's green speckled with white and pink all through the leaves. And the newer growth has a lot more pink.
That sounds stunning. Do you have a pot for it?
Yes.
Will you be transplanting it in March?
No, actually, it's good in the pot it's in now, but I have a decorative pot for it.
Okay.
And actually, it's probably more critical in a place I can keep it away from my cats, who view houseplants as the salad bar.
Thank goodness. Precious respects the plants. That's a good thing. Now we know what our task is going to be. And in March, it'll be a whole new time frame where we're looking at bulbs popping up out of the ground. And
the good news is the middle of March, we go back to daylight savings time. Yay, and more daylight.
So you have more time to go out in the garden and explore and see. So, well, thank you. Thank you for your wisdom and your advice. And I'll talk to you in about a week, okay?
Okay, great. Take it easy. Stay warm.
Oh, thank you. You do this. Well, delightful as usual. I love Mrs. Know-It-All. She just keeps me in stitches laughing about all things gardening and more. Now, if you could only imagine hanging out with the two of us in Buffalo, New York. Yes, we are shuffling to Buffalo to participate in the 2022 Buffalo Garden Walk. We've both been there before. We've had a great time every time we've gone. However, this time we are checking out new areas of Buffalo, still having a great time, throwing in a cruise. And the best part about it, you don't have to board a bus down here to get up there. If you are in the DMV, meet me in Buffalo. Everyone has travel points and flyer miles that you might want to use. And honestly, at the end of July, when it's really humid here in DC, Buffalo is exactly where I want to be. Exploring gardens, particularly urban gardens, reminds me of a book, to see what new thing I might be inspired by. If you'd like to consider joining us, meeting us in Buffalo, send me an email, teri@cottageinthecourt.com, and make sure you put Buffalo Garden Walk in the subject line. Now, allow me to share a few words with you from Mahatma Gandhi. To forget how to dig the earth and tend the soil is to forget ourselves. I can't forget me. Lord knows, I've got quite a few speaking engagements happening for both of my books, Black Flora and The Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City. Both books are available on Amazon and maybe at your favorite independent bookstore. If not, ask them if they can carry it. I'm still a tad nasally, but I do appreciate you following me. I appreciate the love that I'm getting from the community about both books. And I look forward to seeing you perhaps at a book talk soon. Spring is almost here, y'all. I can't wait.